And what are you going to do when you find out he's dating someone new? Like, maybe he already has somebody in the wings, you know?
I'm sure he does.
And then he's going to sneak around because he doesn't want to upset you.
I guarantee.
And then you're going to find out and you guys have to live together. Oh. You do not want to be in this situation. Trust me.
That's called situation maximum oofy doofies.
Oofy doofy doofies.
Yeah, that's oofy doofy doofies for sure. You yeah. don't want to be dealing with that situation.
You do not want to oofy doofy in your life. Hello, welcome back to Shit They Don't Tell You, and Happy New Year. This is the first episode of the new year.
No, it's not.
It is.
That's crazy.
We're kind of cheating because we filmed this in December, so we don't have... We're working on our set. I wish that the first episode we had our
new set. We're still tis the seasoning over here.
We're working, okay? Maybe next episode. So make sure you come back next week as well. You know, I always got to be promoting the next episode. Do you mind not texting while we're in the middle of shooting the first episode of the new year?
I just had to talk
rude.
A little bit of fantasy
You're
football
You're starting
shit.
It off rude.
Sorry.
Advice number one, don't be rude.
I'm sorry. I'm ready.
My arms are jello from working on this house so much.
Yeah, you did
I
good.
I set up blinds
you
today
impressed
on like
the shit
five
out of
windows.
Today. Because you set up blinds that are like 12 feet fucking high.
Yeah. They were really big.
On a ladder.
Yeah, on a ladder, yes, with a power drill.
With a power drill. You know what I did? I drank fucking lemonade. Yeah, and I was like, hey, get a little straighter over there.
Okay. So to start off the new year, I thought I'd take some of your questions that you submitted to us at podcast@nikki.limo if you want to submit a question about anything, by the way. Like, people always submit relationship questions, and that's fine, but... You could submit them about anything. We are not experts in any category.
No.
We probably have the most experience with relationships. But you want to hear our thoughts on anything? Ask any question. podcast@nikki.limo.
And always feel free to hit those crypto questions. We always love to hear
this
that.
This is an too. Ask us anything.
Anything. You can even ask anything about crypto. To the crypto king himself.
You can even ask about Eminem. You can even ask about Green Bay Packers if you want.
What do you know about the Green Bay Packers this year?
No, actually, we're going to move on and talk about the questions that
you
submitted.
You want to talk about your fantasy football strategy?
We are not.
You don't want to give it away. I get it. You don't want to give it away yet.
I'm number one in our fantasy league, and I use a very specific strategy that I will not delve into. No, it's secret. I'm winning by a landslide. No, not yet.
Even on JK or anywhere?
No, and not until after the season's over.
Okay, fine.
After the season's over, you can reveal.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Although I quit JK, fuck that show. I quit it.
Okay. Did you quit already?
Yeah, I quit.
It's January something.
I told him to stick it in, twist it, and break it off.
You know it's January something.
Oh, wait, what day?
I don't know.
First?
No. I don't
know.
It
might be close. We'll see. I don't know. I quit. I don't know. For now, I quit the show.
This is the first question. Right. This is actually a follow-up. Okay, this is a follow-up from someone we already answered, I guess.
Yeah, love it.
Breakup from first love follow-up. Hey, Nikki and Steve, I know how things work around here. I'll pay you compliments in exchange for your expertise. That's right. We thrive off compliments.
Much.
If you please give us compliments, we will answer your question better the more compliments you give. First, your podcast is arguably one of the best ones out there. Oh my God, thank you so much. Thank you so much. As much as I love Big Mood, you guys have something special here to offer that I haven't seen elsewhere so far. You both are great individually and great together. You truly inspire me. Thank you so much. Oh my
I'll
God.
Be so honest. So I quit Big Mood.
I
quit Big Mood.
I am still in Big Mood.
Okay.
Our chief competitor.
Yeah, I don't really like to mention them. But
you weren't... really part
I
of
quit
the,
it
okay.
long
yeah,
time
yeah.
ago.
Okay, we're sad to see you go.
Yeah, thanks.
We're sad. Okay, back to this.
I said you guys can shove it.
Back to our friend here that I don't know if they want to be anonymous. Yeah, they do want to be anonymous. Okay. I hope you might remember my email from a year ago. I was the one who was in a relationship from the time I was 12 years old, now 23, asking if we should break up or take a break. You guys gave great advice, but like the idiot I am, I didn't listen, LOL.
Oh, that's okay. Uh-huh. We all do that.
I wish I could remember what advice we gave. Okay, since
probably
that...
should break up.
Probably.
What are we talking about? We probably fucking hit the breakup button multiple times. Yeah, what are we talking about?
It sounds like it.
I wonder what we said.
Okay, since that email, my first love and I moved into another rental for a year, and I really tried to make it work, but it failed miserably, and now I'm devastated. He decided to end things with me officially on Thanksgiving of all days, and I'm completely heartbroken. It feels like death, honestly, and I'm having such a hard time coping because he was my first for everything. What's almost more painful is the fact that I feel like I'm losing his family, too, which I don't have much of my own. I could see that. He is also of a different culture than me, and I basically grew up with it all, and I don't want to leave that life behind. I know realistically it's going to get better someday, and I'll probably find the one out there, but emotionally I'm distraught. He said I just don't make him happy anymore, and picturing someone else making him happier than me kills me inside. Mm. I'll most likely be living with him till spring at least. Oh, no.
Girly girl. You get the fuck out of
Sometimes
there.
Sometimes I'm not sure how I'll get through this. What's your advice on dealing with heartbreak and loss? Thank you so much,
Anonymous.
Yeah,
get the fuck out.
Ooh, you need to get the fuck out.
Even if it's duct tape, you got to pull it the fuck off.
Go sleep on a friend's couch. Yes. Go anywhere. Literally anywhere. What you are doing is torturing yourself. We have to live together till spring because that's the lease.
That's our lease.
And you're thinking in the back of your mind, maybe he'll come around, maybe it'll work
exactly
out. That's
right.
Exactly what you're doing. And the longer you stay next to him, the more sick of you he's gonna get.
And you're not gonna win the breakup. You want right? Don't you want to win the breakup? That's what everyone wants to do.
Yeah, everyone
right?
wants to win the breakup.
You want to win the breakup. If you want to win the breakup, you gotta show him you don't give a shit anymore. All right. And you got to go live your best life. And living your best life is not next to this cat who says he doesn't want to be with you anymore because you don't make him happy. Holy shit. If anything, you're just reminding him every day that you don't make him happy.
Exactly.
And like Nikki said, and he's resenting you more and more that he has to stay with you for this long.
And what are you going to do when you find out he's dating someone new? Like maybe he already has somebody in the wings, you know?
I'm sure he
does. And then he's going to sneak around because he doesn't want to upset you.
I guarantee.
And then you're going to find out and you guys have to live together. Oh. You do not want to be in this situation. Trust me.
That's called situation maximum oofy doofies. That's oofy doofy doofies for sure. You don't want to be dealing with that. Situation.
You do not want to oofy doofy in your life.
Do not let that happen to yourself.
Since
please.
You didn't listen to our advice last year, please listen to our advice this year.
Get the fuck out of there.
Get out. And don't talk to him either. Don't snoop on his social media. Don't look at his Instagram. Yep. Don't text him and you know, your mail. I gotta collect the mail.
Stop it.
And pretend like you need to go.
Because you know what you're doing right
again.
Now. You have in your calendar. Wake up. Step one, oofy. Step two, doofy.
That's a lot of oofy doofy.
That's a lot of oofy doofy for one person's
Too
day.
Much.
And you gotta relieve yourself a lot of those oofy doofies. Trust me on that one.
Yeah, look, you're 23, and I know you've been together since you were 12. That's 11 years. That's a long time. But you were just children, okay? And because you're attached to him because you grew up together, he feels like family to you. And you feel like family to him too. He loves you. He has love for you, but he's not in love with you. He sees you like a family member, like a cousin.
And
like
all the things that you're missing.
He is not sexually attracted to
you're
you.
You're missing all the best shit, right? The family stuff and like hanging out with all the people who you've known this whole time. They've been a second family to you. Yes. All that sucks, right? But they're not gone from your life. Almost like when there's a death in the family and it's like, they're always with you because the memory is always with you. Nobody can take that away from you.
Yeah.
So, and you can keep whatever traditions you want. You can make whatever the fuck traditions you want. You know, me and Nikki, when we got together, she had a demand of us where she, like on Christmas time, she's like, we are getting a real tree. I don't give a shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what? Plastic trees are so
easy. I've never had a plastic tree
before. I was like, it's easy mode and it's beautiful. It's easy.
Yeah.
And then she's like, nah, the whole time, right?
I need the smell of real pine tree, like real.
And then, what was it? What converted you finally, would you say?
Okay, so I grew up with it, and then my parents randomly changed to a fake tree, even though my mom, the entire time I was growing up, was like, I will never have a fake tree. They're so tacky, blah, 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 blah. And like, you just don't realize how much you take on from your parents that like, it wasn't even maybe your own opinion. You just like
absorbed it.
Yeah. And this is a common thread with all of us. Like where sometimes you just do things and you don't even question why you picked it and you think it's your own preference, but it's not. And yeah, I realized after they switched to a fake tree, I was like, oh, so you're allowed to do that now?
Yeah.
And then I realized fake trees have come a long way since I was a kid.
Yeah, it's true.
And also they're like, they make them really beautiful and pre-lit, and that's so much easier.
Yes.
And also, the real trees were scratching our cars when we were trying to take them home.
True.
And
I fucked up my
like
mini
that.
Roof for that
and
way.
I
thanks
like
a lot for that. And by the way, imagine that, a 9-foot fucking, or what, 8-foot tree on a top of a Mini Cooper. We did that for years. So what I'm getting at, right, is the tradition that Nikki was like so like part of her was so easy to remove once she just decided, oh wait, let's make our own tradition. That's what we did. We made our own tradition because I grew up with a plastic tree.
Yeah.
I wasn't like married to them or anything. I just liked the sentimentality of always having that same tree. It was cool.
I like that too.
Every year we had the same tree.
Yeah.
For like, and you're like, you're used to
it. It's like a friend.
Yeah.
And also, I got really sad dumping the dead tree.
Always.
After a few years, I was like, this feels bad. You know? Like,
thanks, bitch.
It's like a dead thing sitting in our living room for a little bit. Cause you know, you always like, you're always like lazy, you procrastinate. Yeah, exactly. And then you finally, like, you just dump it on the side of a curb, and it's, like, so sad. They're, like, grown and bred just to be used for Christmas.
And in L.A., you see, like, I don't know, bro. It's, like, the Christmas tree holocaust where you look outside and you're, like, holy fucking shit. Everyone's tree's out there right now, and it looks nuts.
Yeah, it just feels wasteful.
Yeah.
To, like...
It's sad.
Farm all those trees just for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I like the...
Just
I like
for money?
The, like, it's, like, it reminds me of... factory farming with animals, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Like, some I don't mind people that hunt their own food or they're like, or, you know, free range things as much. But then when you look at those factory farms, the way that they breed animals into just these terrible conditions just to slaughter them is like so sad. They don't even get to live like a real life.
Yeah. Anyway, but they're delicious.
So the Christmas tree.
So I'm thankful for that. Life.
I wouldn't tell you.
I get it.
Couldn't remember. But anyway, get out. Get out of that house.
Get the fuck out.
Stop hanging out.
Make your own traditions.
And don't talk to him anymore.
Yeah, yes. Create your own destiny.
Let him miss you if he really misses
you. Damn right. Because you're a gem.
I don't think he will, though. Because, you know, when you get that to that point.
You don't need him to miss you, girl.
You don't need it. But you need to find your own happiness where you don't miss him.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's time to build yourself up again.
And you think that, you know, him seeing you all the time would like make him miss you again? It's not going to. It's just going to break your own heart over and over.
Your self-worth is not in him. It's in you.
Yeah.
That should always exist.
And it's so much easier said than done to always. Be like, oh, just get it's over him.
Fair. It's not fair.
But no, really, like, you'll be so much happier once you find the thing that you make yourself happy with.
Yeah.
And then anyone else that comes along is just going to add to that. I know at 23, I was going through the breakup with my first boyfriend that I moved here with, the five-year one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was me on the other side where I was like, I broke it off.
Yeah.
And it was where I felt like I had love for him, like a family member. Like I wasn't sexually attracted to him anymore. And I thought I would move out on my own and be really lonely because I'd never lived alone before. And I was actually like super stoked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like it was like really fun to be alone.
But imagine dragging it on for a couple months.
I couldn't.
Yeah.
Like it made me physically nauseous.
Yeah.
It just felt bad. Like I felt a knot in my stomach like I was doing something wrong by staying.
Yep.
Because I
didn't.
That's
how I felt when I broke up. You know, my dad, famous story. I've told this many times. So it's a very famous story. Everyone knows the story. Everyone. Christmas time, it was the day before Christmas Eve, and my chick at the time, I was like 16 years old, like my first like hardcore girlfriend for like years, right? And I was sick, and I was like, I'm sick, I don't want to come to your family's thing, because they were going to make tamales and like...
Yeah.
And dude, if you know me, I would never miss out on Mexican food ever.
No.
It's never going to happen. So she was like... You just don't want to come. You're faking sick. And I'm like, bro, I'm just sick. What are you talking about? And she's like fucking tearing my head off on the phone. And I was like, you know what? We're done. I'm done. I'm not going to do this anymore. And I was in the car with my sister at the time, who's hot as fuck, by the way. If you ever seen my sister, it's crazy.
No. Weird.
I mean, you know, though. You know what I'm saying?
Stop it.
You know what I'm saying, though.
So weird.
Okay, so.
I can't even as a bit. I'm just like, don't
so
joke about
it. I hang up the phone, right? And my sister's like, thank God, I've been waiting for you to do that for so fucking long. And I told my dad I broke up with her. And you know what my old man told me? And I love you, old man. I love you. I know you're listening. But he was like, you will always regret it if you don't get back with her right now and make it right because of like how close to Christmas it was and shit. And I was like, I don't think I will.
Yeah.
And I don't.
Yeah.
Here I am. I'm 36 years old. I don't regret it.
Yeah,
I think
getting
it was
out of something
move.
That's not meant to be anymore is not something that you regret.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
It
hurts to be the one on the other side of it.
It does, of course. And it was bad, right? So like the old man, her old man was like, fucking, you know, thanks for ruining my Christmas. And I get it, right? And and then her mom was like, she was always like, hey, after you break up with her, she always used to say this to me, and I always didn't get it, but she was like, after you break up with her, every time we were alone, you better fucking wave at me when you're like going home or whatever at high school.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, of course I will. But then I was so awkward after that because I broke up with her like the day before Christmas. I was like, I'm not waving at this shit. I was like, I'm not going to fucking do it. Because for me, waving is like, hey, remember when I ruined Christmas? Isn't that fun?
It's like forever. That's what they, what
you
your
hear
face
them ring, ting, ting. You know what I mean? Like every time that they had Christmas, like for probably like a year after that or whatever it was, like they were thinking about how fucking brutal that year was. So yeah, sorry. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, good luck, Anonymous.
Good luck, chick.
We wish you the best. You're valuable.
Yes,
you know?
What the fuck?
Find your value. You're
worth.
Find
the person who can't wait to be with you every day.
Exactly.
Please.
You'll know.
Yeah, you will.
Okay, next. This title is, Should I Cut Them Off? Hi, Nikki and Steve. I've been a fan of yours since JK, and I love the podcast. Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much. This JK is dead to me, but thank you.
Stop. This is going to be a long one, sorry. I've recently fallen out with a best friend and need an outsider's opinion. I'll start by saying that I do feel like this person genuinely cares for me, as we have genuine deep talks. They call me their soul sister. They say they miss me when we haven't hung out in a while, but they're horrible at communicating. Example, doesn't reply to or initiate texts, mostly talks and interacts when in person. So the issue came when I had surgery last month and they never checked up on me. Yes, they wished me luck prior when we had spoken about it, but when it came to it, they never asked. It was only until a month after my surgery that I texted them telling how I felt hurt and disappointed that they hadn't asked how I was. They apologized and explained that they had family issues that made it hard for them to reach out. They traveled back home for this situation. They said that they were thinking of me on the day of my surgery, but just couldn't bring themselves to text me, and told a mutual friend of ours to check up on me instead. I said I understood that things were hard and wished her well, but just as she replied to my text, could she not text me after my surgery? She apologized again. I left it. Then she texted a week later asking how I was and if she could make it up to me, but I still needed some space, and I felt like she's becoming comfortable with me as we've been friends for so long, so she thinks that I'll just come around. Her reply was shocking to me. Just a, I understand. I'm sorry. Hope that you're doing well, though. I think my issue is that there's no action behind her words. Like, she could try harder, right? So do you think I should distance myself from this person or give them a second chance? Sorry for rambling and thanks for reading. Love, F.
Okay, F, mm-hmm. I got a great answer for you.
Okay.
As a person who's been living as a human now for 36 years,
yes.
I've had a very interesting time with this exact topic, actually. Because, you know, I've had friends who have gone through struggles. You know, I have gone through struggles. And, you know, it's interesting when you're the person who is on the other side of the fence. So like maybe, you know, you're in your situation, you're like, why aren't they reaching out more?
Yeah.
But I've been the person where a friend is going through a struggle and I feel awkward bringing it up.
Yeah.
Like again.
Same.
Right? For me, I'm like, they're literally covered in the struggle. What if I'm like, hey, thinking about your struggle, hope you're okay. Then they're going to be like even more, like I feel like I'm not helping.
Yeah.
So it's just it's this really awkward thing that you're put into where you have empathy for a person and you want to say all the things, but then you feel awkward because you don't want to remind them of this situation.
Yeah. And I also think that like, just like there's love languages with relationships, intimate relationships, there's love languages for everyone with friendships too. And so for you, and this has happened before where like your love language is like, you want people to check in on you. Like you think that that's showing you love and that's how you feel loved, is when people check in on you. And for your friend, it may not be like that for them. Like they might go through, like she said, she was struggling with family issues and she didn't care that you didn't text her during that time when she was going through all these family issues, you know? So she doesn't feel loved, or it doesn't register that that's how you need to feel loved. So maybe, you know, after you communicated this, and I don't know how many times this has happened, but it sounds like she was sorry. She made an effort to check up on you the following week, and to like, cause that's what you told her, you know, like this is what I needed. And so she was trying to incorporate that. And then she did it the next week, but you said you needed more space. And so I feel like you're punishing her too quickly because you just told her the issue. And then she's trying to make it right by giving you what you said you wanted, and you're saying it's still no good.
And when you boil it down, what you're upset about is the long distance friendship, because whenever you're in the same room, you guys are like hitting it off and clicking, right? And everything's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you're punishing somebody for a long-term friendship faux pas when they can't wait to be friends with you in the room.
Yeah.
So it's, and some people are different. Like you have friends who we're going to see this weekend.
Yeah.
who you have seen since you were in middle school.
In high school,
or
yeah.
High school.
Yeah.
Right?
First year of high school, yeah.
You've known them for so long, it's crazy.
Yeah.
And you guys, I can tell you as a, you know, a veteran of the Limo tribe, when they get together, it's like they haven't missed a minute.
Yeah.
And like they're just clicking, clicking, clicking. But I can tell you right now, like your friend Tanya.
Yeah.
If you text her, she might not text you for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Because she's busy in life and doing things and like.
Yeah. Sometimes she's like in a remote desert. Sometimes literally. She's camping in like on like a mountain.
Sometimes she's on peyote. You know, and she's like driving through Arizona, whatever's going on.
Sometimes she's like crab fishing, like with her dad.
But the point is that she's doing the things that make her happy.
Yeah.
And she's not like having to abruptly change that to fit her friend into the picture.
Exactly. Like I don't take it personally, even though like with some other people, if they didn't text back right away, because I know they normally text back right away, I would read that as like, oh, something's wrong.
Yes.
Or like our friendship is waning. Yes. But because I know her and the type of person she is and how she like feels her best, most authentic self,
yes.
Which is all you ever want. You want your friends to like feel like they can be themselves around you, right? I know that it's not personal when she doesn't text back. Exactly. Sometimes it's annoying because we're trying to schedule something, but like it's not a personal thing. And anytime I've ever told her I needed her, just like your friend, like when you actually told her that you were hurt and that you needed her, she's been there.
Yeah.
And so I think you kind of, when you say you haven't seen the actions, it sounds like you did see some of the actions.
But this wasn't enough. I think she might be a card and balloons kind of person.
Mm-hmm.
And this person doesn't have the capacity for that.
Yeah, yeah. So it might, if this is something that you really need in a friend, maybe it's not the right fit, but I don't think that she is a bad friend.
No, not at all. Person. Or you should, I don't think you should abandon this person either.
Yeah.
I think that you should maybe adjust a little bit of what your expectations are for other people because it sounds like you're not giving them that either.
Yeah.
So you got to just remember that's not just about like your situation, like other people are going through shit, which was my first thought when I was hearing your email being read.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh yeah, but other people, you don't know what they're going through.
Yeah, you have to consider that first. Yeah. Like what, you know, someone didn't wish me happy birthday. Oh, like a billion thoughts could run through your head, like, wow, that's so selfish or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you find out that like their dad just died.
You don't know.
You just don't know what they're going through.
Yeah,
So to assume that it's just something that's like they don't think of you as a friend or they don't appreciate you as a friend, that's not really necessarily true. Yeah, I think just giving good benefit of the doubt, letting people adjust their actions after you communicate with them. I would say if you had that conversation and then she still never texted up with you later, then maybe no.
Dude,
but
like 2 years ago, I forgot my own sister's birthday because life was crazy. And I never missed one ever.
Yeah.
But I forgot my own sister's fucking birthday.
Wow. Yeah, you know I can't believe that. You always remember.
I did.
Yeah.
When I realized it was like 2 days later, I was like, wait a minute, what the fuck day is it? I was like, holy shit. And I called her and I was like, I'm so fucking sorry. I can't believe I didn't call you on your birthday.
Yeah.
But like, I was just mired in all kinds of shit that I was working on at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't even know what day it was barely. It was like writing so much and stuff.
Yeah.
And like nights turned into days and days turned into nights. And you just don't even know what the fuck time it is and shit. And then I came out of that hole and was like, oh my God, it was my sister's birthday. I'm such an asshole.
Yeah.
You just don't know what people are doing. And it wasn't out of malice. I wasn't sitting there going like, hey, I forgot my sister's birthday.
No.
I was being a little shitty brother a little bit, for sure.
Uh-huh.
No question. But, you know, I had to make sure that she knew I was sorry about that.
I'm trying to think, like, I've had a lot of friends go through surgeries, and I don't think I've ever reached out personally to them. And
dude,
like,
I went through a surgery. I didn't even expect anyone to reach
out
to me.
Yeah, yeah, me neither.
Except for you.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever... Also, yeah, I've never like been like, why I can't believe no one reached out to me because of this. I guess I just don't feel that's
it's
not
a love
how
language
I
thing. Like,
yeah, it is
I
a love language.
I think you really
thing.
Are locked in on what this is. It's mm-hmm. like there's a friendship language, love language thing going on.
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, just I guess take that into consideration. It may be that you continually get frustrated with this particular person because that's you don't feel loved from them. But yeah,
and we love you, but maybe consider taking a chill pill, putting it on a dish. Cutting it into thirds
just
and just taking
bit.
A little bit
just
of
a
chill
little
pill,
bit.
A little bit,
a tiny bit.
And wash it down with a full glass of water, doctor's recommendation.
Yes, 8 ounces at least.
Thank you. to stay hydrated as well. Let it process through your system.
It's very important.
Very important. Very key to taking the chill pill too. A lot of people don't mention that.
Yeah, your pee needs to run clear.
That's right.
Okay.
Thank you.
We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we are going to answer more of your questions.
We're also going to try to sell you guys some stuff that we really hope you're going to buy.
But you should buy it or download it, whatever it is that
whatever
we say.
Whatever it is, we
whatever
don't know
we say to do, just do it. Do it. Do it.
Yeah, just do it.
We did it. Come on.
See?
Don't you want to do what we do?
We have a good marriage. It's because we buy all
it's
these products.
It's because we did, yeah. We, or downloaded.
And we
play
downloaded
Best Fiends.
Best Fiends.
Yeah.
See?
All right. See you soon.
All right, bye.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. We just want to take a break to tell you to, like, thanks for listening to our podcast. And if you want to rate it, that would be really awesome for us.
Listen, we're on break. We're not talking to you like podcast hosts right now. We're just talking to you like people.
As a friend.
And we just want to say, please rate the show because it helps out huge amounts.
Like, we're not desperate. We're, like, kind of desperate.
We're giving shout outs right now to all the people who are giving it ratings. So huge shout out right now to Brian Jorgensen. That was sick of you, dude. Thank you. God bless. Huge shout out right now to Mark. Mark W. in Springfield, Connecticut.
Back to our podcast.
Jenny Blake.
Hey, back to our podcast.
In Tuscany,
and
Florida.
Back to our podcast.
God bless you. Thank you.
Steven.
Thank you for supporting the show.
Hello, welcome back. I hope you downloaded whatever we told you to download and bought whatever we told you to buy. And on to the next question. This one is titled, I love you guys. I already love this
one.
I
love this.
Okay. First of all, you two are amazing. You're both hilarious, and together y'all are a riot. I always wish I could see stand-up sets that y'all have done. Steve, you're so funny on JK. Your bit's having me in tears. Nikki, love your vlogs. You're a kind, beautiful soul. I can't wait to see you decorate the new house. Aw, we love you.
I can't believe you're bringing up my ex like that.
That's so sweet.
JK is dead to me.
Okay.
Look at me. It's dead to me. And the boys are dead to me. Thank you.
I just wanted to say I joined the Patreon some months back and I wanted to learn more about the crypto space, but have had so much going on this year, I haven't been able to completely dive in the way that I want to. I know Steve says all the time, it's never too late. I just turned 30 and I want financial freedom for me and my girl. I was just wondering where to start. Like, could I just start watching Crypto Corner and be able to keep up? I hope you guys have a happy holidays and a happy moving. Can't wait for the Vegas adventures. P.S. I love comedy and I hope to have the confidence to do stand-up one day. Tony.
Fuck yeah, Tony. Good for you, Tony.
Tony.
Hey, Tony, just go do it, dude. Just go
do
start
it.
Doing
just
it.
Just go die.
Just go start doing it, baby. You can't even start until you start. You know what
Welcome
I'm saying?
To Sticky Studios. By the way, if you didn't know, we have a Patreon. It's patreon.com/sticky, S-T-I-K-K-I. We do Crypto Corner. Steve does Crypto Corner live streams every week. It's like 3-hour long live streams. He answers all the questions. And that's at every tier. And
so
then
fun.
We do extra episodes of Shit They Don't Tell You. We do a bonus live stream once a month, and we do a lot of other things.
That's
I can't
full
remember.
Cell. Good job.
Discord.
Here's the thing, right? So for your question, this question gets asked a lot. We have new people coming in all the time, right? And this question gets asked a lot. Hey, am I too late and all this stuff? And I know you already heard me, so I don't have to catch you up there. But yeah, listen to Crypto 101 and 102 on Shit They Don't Tell You, because it's a really good little primer for you if you're newer. And then definitely get into Crypto Corner Discord, because if you have questions about anything, it's going to get answered fast. One of my favorite things about Crypto Corner Discord is that the community there is unfucking believable. Everyone there is so helpful. They cannot wait to help you. Like,
so
I'm not
true.
Kidding. It's like, it's so beautiful that we have, we're so lucky to have everyone there who's there, because they're so great. I promise you, new people always feel welcomed, and they never ask a question that sounds stupid, because nobody thinks a question's stupid.
Yeah.
Everyone has been, quote, stupid in crypto when we all got in like early.
Mm-hmm.
And we've all felt dumb and been helped by somebody else who knew a little bit more than us. And like, we've all benefited from that. So nobody ever feels like, oh no, I can't catch up. Right. But yeah, if you start watching Crypto Corner like live, I always make it a point to, when I'm explaining something, to try to break it down quickly for newer people. Cause I think that's so important. You can never forget about who's watching you. You never just assume everyone knows everything when they're watching you, or that they're all caught up as much as you are, or whatever. or like even the first batch of
people.
That's
really cool.
I really believe in that. It's something I've always believed into. It's something I even was telling the JK boys recently, who I hate. But I was telling them recently, I was like, you know, one of the things that kind of drives me crazy about the show sometimes, and this is like a good note, I think, mm-hmm. is that they'll start talking about somebody who's not even in the room, who I haven't even met before, and like, like 5 years ago. And I'm like, guys, fucking make it so that if I just started watching it, you just introduce them to me a little bit as an audience member, even though I'm a cast member.
Yeah. Because we don't know half the time. Half the time we're talking about someone that I have no idea who they're talking about.
Our friend Ryan, you know, yeah, it's crazy. And I'm like, dude, well, there's a Ryan, and there's a Ryan in the room too. So what the fuck's going on? And then they're like, oh yeah, well, he's a cop. And I'm like, okay, cool. But you gotta fucking help me.
Yeah, paint a little bit of a picture.
Paint the picture.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, I told them that recently, and I think that was good because, you know, even though I quit the show because I hate them.
Yeah.
Like, I think that was well.
So you do that on Crypto Corner.
I like to do that on Crypto Corner.
Yes. So you're not too late.
Yeah,
and you can watch Crypto 101 and Crypto 102. 102,
yep. And then get in the Discord. We got a pin section top right in the Discord.
There's a specific Crypto corner.
Yes.
What's it called? A forum or channel?
Discord channel, yeah.
Channel,
yeah.
Yes.
And also, too, brother, you're talking about... So let me just give you a real quick answer on this. So Bitcoin dominance right now is like 40.3%. In my opinion, when Bitcoin dominance starts to go into the 30s percent-wise, mm-hmm. if you join Crypto Corner and you're like, hey, Steve, I'm looking to make sick gains, I'm going to tell you, hey, bro, it's like time to be in alts or to start planning for the exit.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't want people getting in and getting wrecked.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want people to learn about the space while they're there, but... The plan is not to have people there who are just going to join and get wrecked while everyone dumps and gets the fuck out, right? Mm-hmm. So my plan is to cash out 90% of my stack at the end of the run, which I believe will be predicated by a Bitcoin dominance shift into the 30s percent-wise.
Mm-hmm. And right now it's at 40%.
It's at 40%. But the cycle, so like last night, it was at 39.8%.
Oh.
Yes. But that doesn't matter because it has to close there and hang out there.
I see.
And I was telling Kenny last night, because Kenny is my brother. He also does Kenny Corner, which you guys can check out as well. It's part of the whole thing. But he's more bearish than I am about things generally. Mm-hmm. And he was, you know, teasing me last night, like, hey, it might be time to unstake and start to get out of crypto, like start to plan the exit strategy. But to me, unless it breaks and holds, Bitcoin still has to do a couple more pushes, which I think it will do. Mm-hmm. Bitcoin's, I think, $48,000 tonight. I think it will push back in the ratios, setting itself up for the big, big move, which I think will carry alts into crazy, crazy town.
Yeah.
Which is why if you go to the top 100 right now in CoinMarketCap, every single one of them is worth $1 billion. Like every single one in the top 100 is worth $1 billion minimum. Wow. Mm-hmm. When you and I were first getting into crypto,
mm-hmm.
Like, well, we got into crypto in 2013, but in 2016, when I was going hardcore into crypto,
yeah,
the top 10 was $1 billion.
Okay.
You dig?
Yeah.
So the market caps exponentially increase as the market gets more money into it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why when I was trying to tell my father and like my family, hey, crypto's not dead. You guys just don't know because you see the prices are down, but the volume is up.
Yeah.
The usage is up. People are using this like more than ever. But this was like, you know, 2 years ago during the bear markets where everyone's like, whatever, crypto's dead. LOL, you idiot. And all that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
But that's why I knew it was coming back. And that's why I told you when it was coming back. I was like, oh my God. I remember waking up too and being like, we're back.
Yeah.
Like it's coming back.
I love when people call you an idiot on things you believe in. Like,
oh yeah,
I've never called anyone an idiot on something they believed in. Because I don't know, you know, unless I know that space 1,000%, you know, I just,
yeah.
You don't know. It always drives me crazy, but also I guess I have to laugh at it when people are smart in one thing and just think they're just generally smart at everything and they call you an idiot or they call you a fool for something that you know way more about. It's so silly.
I genuinely wish that everyone knew that. Because it really does help. Because I am, if you call me an idiot generally, I'm like, yeah, I pretty much agree with you.
Yeah, exact same.
Because I see what I don't see,
with
right?
With me too,
I know what I don't know. But if I know something, I can't wait to talk about it.
Exactly.
And that's the difference.
It's like most things I genuinely don't know. I'm willing to learn about them.
I can't wait to tell you I don't know something.
I'm like a student of many, many things. I would never call myself an expert at those things. But like the things I'm really passionate about that I'm like, no, I definitely know I'm supposed to go this way. I've been called a fool quite a few times and it's like always worked out where same. I'm like, you just have to go with your gut on things and not listen to, you know.
Dude, Tom Brady. Okay, I'm sorry. We're getting way diverted here, but I really have to say this is really good. He has a documentary right now called Man in the Arena.
Mm-hmm.
I've been watching a little bit in piecemeal because I really am just focused mostly on crypto right now in the bull market. But he said he had a bunch of critics coming out about the Patriots, like his first couple seasons, right? And they're going like, Tom Brady has fallen off because he threw a bunch of picks last week. This is like week one of like the season. And so he has this one particular critic who's like, you know, the problem in New England right now is they hate the coach, okay? And I know Mark's laughing right now because I always fucking do football analogies, but whatever, I love football, okay. So he's like, they hate the coach, right? And Tom Brady says that that was a moment for the team where everyone's asking the team questions and the team was able to prove they don't care what the fuck people are saying outside of the arena.
Yeah.
Right? So if you're in the arena and you're fighting and you're building and you're warring every day, you're in the arena. The people outside of the arena have their opinions. They yell about what's going on inside the arena, but they're not in the arena. They're not fighting. They don't know what the fuck it takes to fight.
Exactly.
And that's the difference. And that's the difference between what makes you great and just what makes you somebody who's talking about the people who are great.
Yeah.
And, you know, not to say I'm great, but I am great at
it's
a couple
like
things.
It's like that with everything, with YouTube, with a lot of things. There's a lot of opinions.
And I think I'm great at a couple things. And I think in life, you probably are smart enough, because the human brain has a certain capacity.
Yeah.
I think you're probably smart enough to be really good at like two things.
Yeah.
I've always said that for years. And yeah, I'm working on it, and it's an everyday thing. And I learn just as much from my people as they learn from me. I promise you.
And that's really what it is: continuing to learn.
Yes, being interested.
Yeah,
caring.
So for you, Tony, just to jump back, even if we're coming towards the end of the cycle, it's not like this is you missed a train and whatever. It's exactly that. It's a cycle.
Cycle.
So you might be in a position where you're like, I want financial freedom eventually. I'm 30 years old. So you maybe start like saving up all your money and then you wait for the next bull run or you put it in another investment such as real estate or such as the stock market. Again, you have to wait on timing with that too and do some research. Maybe you take this time to really do a lot of research and a lot of learning. I think that people, when they are ready to like, you know, start building their wealth, they feel like they need to do something right away with their money. But go and planning. Use that time to learn too. That's an investment in yourself too, is learning the investment space that you're looking at. You know,
one of my best pals recently just taught me this, Anthony Lee. I love him. He's honestly been huge for me personally because he can see things where I'm like, oh, that's so true. Why didn't I see that before? But he was telling me this thing yesterday about, he calls it, people have to pay for the education.
Yeah.
Because I always do this thing, unfortunately, where if a friend of mine is like, I want to quit crypto or whatever, I'm like, don't fucking quit. Don't be a pussy or whatever. But then Anthony's like, hey, why are you doing that? Because they have to pay for their education. They have to make the mistake that they learn from.
They do.
He's like, you know, when I got liquidated months ago, like, because he made a really degen move that he talks about very openly, but he made a degen move at the time, and then he paid for it. It wasn't too bad. Definitely, he built back from it. He's actually better off now. But he learned so much from that he now knows his bounds and like where he's going to make moves and where he's not going to make moves. And it's helped him like endlessly. And he thanks that experience for it.
Yeah.
So
it's like that with anything that you want to pursue, like hardcore, you're going to make mistakes, fucking big ones, fat ones.
Yes.
And it's good for you as long as you learn from it. You know, as long as you don't sulk about it and like, oh, I could have been this and da-da-da-da, but then I did that. Don't dwell on it. Just take what you learned from it and don't make that mistake again. And that is like the best education you can get.
It really is.
I got scammed out of $1,100 when I first got into acting because I just wanted an agent. I knew I had to get an agent. And I fell for this like weird like thing in Florida, like casting thing in Florida.
Love it.
Where it was like $1,100 and then they just like the CEO just ran off with everyone's money.
Yep.
And I'll never do that again. Like I was really young and dumb and just really eager. And I think that's how it is. It's like you have all this this like enthusiasm, but you don't really know what you're doing. And so you just kind of make a lot of mistakes that way.
Exactly. But that's something that it's been hard for me, because for me as a friend, you want to save your friend from the mistakes because you see what they're about to do. But then Anthony gifted me with this knowledge that I did not have before, where I'm like, oh, that's so true. Because every time I talk about crypto, I'm always like, well, I made my mistakes and that's why I know more.
Yeah.
But I never give people the ability to do that.
I guess, but also on a general note, I think that type of mindset has to be developed too, because some people, and I would almost say a lot of people, they'll make a mistake and go, oh, that's why I shouldn't do this.
That's so true.
You know what I mean?
You're right.
And like,
I shouldn't do the entire subject anymore. Yeah.
Like, oh no, I felt dumb. It made me feel dumb. I didn't know what I was doing. I lost money on it. You know, and that's not what you should, no.
Yep.
Like, just learn more from it.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's a bummer. So,
it is a bummer.
But that goes back to mindset. I think that's another thing that to work on is like just reading books on mindset and like study successful people.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what they were successful in. They all have a very similar mindset.
Look who's sexy
when it comes
right now.
To investing. Anthony Lee.
It's so funny.
He's going to be on the show soon.
Yes, he will.
Get hype.
It's so funny because, well, I can say it here because, you know, it's a different audience, but yeah, people think that I hate him.
What?
Yeah. It's just
why?
Well, because you know how I am with bits.
You talk like every day.
But if you establish a bit,
yeah,
for me, because like for me, the bit right on JK, you know, the show that I hate now,
yeah,
is that
you quit?
Yeah, that I quit. Is that Anthony is like my enemy or whatever, and like he's part of Kinja's and like fuck Kinja's and like fuck his noodle company and like I love shit. I love. What is it, Nong Shim and like all this stuff, right? So that's the bit. And then as fans come out and they're like, you're being too mean to Anthony. Hey, Anthony, I hope Anthony sees this comment. Just know that you're loved, actually, and all this shit. I like literally when I saw that, because like we all have a group text with each other, like, well, we did before I left.
Yeah.
But they are all sharing me like, hey, fans are going like, oh my God, Steve's being so mean to Anthony. So I like bought a Nong Shim sweatshirt immediately after that. I'm like, dude, I'm not going to give up the bit ever.
Yeah, exactly.
And like, they don't even, it's so funny because they never see what happens when we cut. No. We're like laughing and
they
like
never do.
Anthony and me go take a shot or something. Or like, we're all fucking hugging about crypto or whatever. Like they all just see what happens in the video and they all think that that's like the reality of the situation.
It happened at JK Party with me too. I was
so
like,
funny,
I was like, just the villain number one, like, and that's what I was brought in the show to just like
they would
be like, go harder,
be competative, Nikki.
They bring it up more, and then fans like hated me. They thought I was like bullying and I was like too much, and I was like, oh my God,
so
I was just
funny.
Being hyper competitive about
so
a game of mafia.
No, well then, you know, in the same right, people will always say like, man, it's crazy. Steve can just like stone cold, like dead read like something. And I can't believe it. I don't know if he's being serious or not. But then they'll watch the JK Party where I'm like, hey, fuck you, Nikki. And they're like,
yeah,
man, Steve was fucking pissed. Nikki, did you guys see this shit?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's great. I love it.
I love it. It's fascinating.
There's a whole JK Reddit that's really fascinating.
Oh, they're big fans.
Yeah, they love us.
Yeah.
Anyway, the next thing is also an update, and we just read this update on the last Ask Us Anything, but there's an update, which is that this was the slept with 12 people update.
And, oh, wow.
The one where he had a lower number than her, I think.
Uh-oh, I can't remember. I still go through it every night. I think about it every night.
She threatened to break up with him. Let me just read the past update just so I could catch up. It's the girl that she's like sleeping over at people's houses and he's like, what the fuck? And she's like, whoa, it's your problem.
That's so good.
Okay.
She's good.
We told them to break up, I'm pretty
we
sure.
We did. 100,000%.
Okay. And then he says, update, she broke up with me. We met and had a super heart-to-heart talk that went well, but she messaged me 2 weeks later and said she couldn't date and she's not happy dating in general and she changed her mind.
No,
warm body.
Wait,
there's another one.
Yeah.
Sorry for these constant messages, just dealing with a lot. She did it over text and didn't want to call or meet me. She left me on red and we haven't talked since. I still love her and want to be with her, but now I'm not sure what to do or if we'll ever see each other again.
What do you want to be
with?
Can't
tell if she doesn't love me
anymore.
She's
just hot. That's it.
Yeah, she's using
just
you. You're a placeholder. You're a warm body.
You like
she
fucking her.
She texted you because she was feeling alone.
Come on, bro.
And then she
you
woke up
it.
The next morning and she was like, oh, I'm glad I didn't meet up with him.
Yeah, come on, bro.
I'm sorry.
just,
I'm sorry.
You gotta accept it.
Yeah.
She's just hot and you forgive all her flaws because you think she's really, really attractive. That's it.
It sucks to have someone be over you. Just like the first person that we were talking to. It sucks.
It sucks.
Okay? But it happens. And you don't want to be with someone that doesn't want to be with you. That's period.
It feels bad, period. Guys. It feels bad, guys.
It feels bad. And that's not how it works.
And, you know, sounds like from the emails you sent us before, it felt bad then too when you were together.
Yeah.
So how fun does it feel now? It feels the same.
Yeah. It's just that she left you. It feels hard to be left. That's all.
I'm not laughing at your situation. I'm laughing at how insane it is because I've been in that situation.
Yeah.
It's, you really do feel like,
like you could save it.
You could fix it.
Yeah.
Because it's all perfect because it's really all, everything seems to line up.
And you think of all the good memories you had together.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And like, how could that have been fake?
Or her dad likes me or whatever.
If he could just remember those moments that we had.
Yucky.
Then he would fall in love again. He's crazy. He's, you know.
Imagine having to convince somebody to like you.
Exactly.
That's what it's like. You don't need, you're too good for that.
You
fuck
do
that.
You, and if they're not into that anymore, then that's not for you.
That's it.
That's that situation. And I'm sorry, but you'll meet someone that actually likes you.
Boom.
And you'll be so happy that you did.
You will. You'll be overjoyed.
Right now, if your energy is going to this other person and like even just you thinking about her or worrying about her or thinking like, what if she's doing this? Is it depression? Should I check on her? No.
It's exhausting. Relationships aren't exhausting.
They don't get your energy anymore. No. And when you're putting your energy there, that means it's not going to someone new that could be getting it, or it's not going to yourself, you know? Your energy is precious.
Damn right.
Treat it that way.
It's finite too. You don't have an unlimited energy, pal.
No, you do.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I mean, eventually you just you can drink a Red Bull. And
see. Oh, that's really true. Get like a, I wasn't thinking you get 32 pack of Red Bull. That's true.
Okay, yeah. If you got a 32 pack of Red Bull, if you go to Costco, you got to get that Costco membership.
Hey, if you want to get back with her, just get a 32 pack of Red Bull. We do agree on that.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. That's why we say to seek therapy, by the way.
Yeah, that's true. Always seek therapy.
Because we don't know as much as they do. Thank you.
And you can like really pour your heart out and ask follow-up questions and stuff. Okay, this is another update. Update on being a ride or die. Okay, hi, Nikki and Steve. It's Love Girl. I wish I left the name picking to you two, but I was in my feels when I sent the first email at 3 a.m.
Oh, wow.
Okay, just a quick recap. I wrote in because my boyfriend's government assistance ended while he was still unemployed and chose to stay home to play video games. Oh, I remember you.
What games, though? That's key.
But please let us know what games in the comments.
Yeah, that's key.
Before I get into the update, though, I first wanted to thank you for responding to my last email. It meant so much to me to be able to hear both of your thoughts on our situation. Also, yes, Nikki, hearing about your piano plans for your new place was definitely endearing. And I'm so excited
for you. Don't
you
love this chick? The more you fucking listen to this chick, how much do you love her? Holy shit.
Stupid.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, and I was also gifted the Pearl Daisy Chugger as my birthday present, and I love it so much. Oh my God, that's awesome.
It's pretty.
It's sold out now. So you got one of the last ones.
It's over.
Happy birthday, by the way.
If you wanted one, it's over.
Since my last email, I ended up taking your advice and communicated more with my boyfriend about how I was feeling. It was a long and tear-filled conversation that was ultimately very productive. My boyfriend has gotten a new job since then, and he's been enjoying it so far. Oh, good.
Hey, sick.
However, one thing still remained, and you were right, Steve. I didn't mention it previously, but my boyfriend has definitely been in a tough place mentally. He says that it's been here since we've even started dating, and he describes it as, quote unquote, being bored with his life. Oh. He struggles with needing to find a purpose and he feels lost and unhappy. I suggested therapy or finding online resources like podcasts, audiobooks, etc., but he doesn't want to use them. He sleepily told me after work today that because he's a man, he doesn't, quote, need help with that stuff, quote, and that he has to figure it out on his own. It's disheartening to say the least because of how much I believe in taking care of our own inner healing. I'm not really sure where to go from here. We both acknowledged how his lack of energy has impacted our relationship, but also how he barely has enough energy for himself. Mm. I brought up taking a break to focus on ourselves, but it was definitely not something that we wanted. We wanted to stay together, and I definitely help ease his mind by just being there for him. I love him and I'm here to support him, but I also want my partner to reciprocate the energy I'm putting in with stuff like getting me a thoughtful birthday present, you know? He wrote me a short letter because I asked him to, and he gave me a bracelet that his mom found around the house that was in the, quote, give this as a present during the holidays pile.
That's sentimental as hell, I gotta say. That's really touching.
That's a oofy doofy.
Very toughing little oofy doofy as well, but yeah.
I struggle with trying to balance my new intention of knowing what I deserve and how I want to be loved, but also understanding his perspective since I've been there before. I know exactly how it feels to not have enough within me to give to others when I barely have anything left for me. And I can see that he's trying, or that he wants to try at least. But if he continues to refuse to work through his own issues, I'm afraid we'll grow apart. I'd really appreciate to know your thoughts. Thank you both so much for everything that you do and for taking the time to read our emails. Lover Girl, you can give me a new name if you want. No, I like Lover Girl.
Lover Girl's great. We love it. Thank you for reminding us, by the way, because a lot of people just say, hey, it's me, Mamba. And yeah, I'm like,
hope you remember.
I don't remember. You got to give us the preface a little bit. Yeah. And then I do remember after you do.
Exactly.
So, yeah. Yeah, look. It's tough, right? Because you're dealing with somebody who has depression and they don't want to really talk about it. That's really what's going on here.
But they also don't want to get help for it.
But exactly. They don't want to talk about it to anybody. So like, that's toughy. That's a little bit of a toughy, and that's a little bit of a oofy as well. So that's going to be hard to navigate. If you want your partner to be available to you, they're not being available to you because they're mired in this.
Yeah.
You have a decision to make.
I think your gut is right about taking a break, because a relationship is a two-way street. And if you're not seeing your energy reciprocated, it can be really hurtful. And especially if they don't communicate to you. Like, like sometimes I'm just going through something and I tell Steve, like, hey, I just need to be alone.
And for, she's like, the best at that.
A couple days.
She's incredible at it, actually. It's really good for our relationship.
It's really good because then your partner knows it's not personal.
I never question it.
If he's like brings me food or thinks of me and like I don't really reciprocate that energy, it's not personal because I already prefaced it. Like I said, like, hey, I'm going to need a few days, you know?
Or years. I need a couple years. And I'm like, you bet.
I don't say years. You're dumb. Well, you don't know.
Well, I know, but like,
this person could be waiting years. Somebody listening
who's judging is like, oh yeah, I bet she says that every day or something. So I'm just fucking around. But yeah, no, you really are good. I mean, dude, if we're good at anything in our relationship,
it's communication.
We communicate so much. It's great. And I love it.
Because that's the way that, you know, you make sure everyone's needs are being met.
Yes.
Or that, you know, because like you said, it's like, where do you draw the line between making sure that your needs are being met, but also understanding their needs? And that is a communication thing. It's also a where do you set your boundaries thing. Because depending on what you want out of this relationship, this might go on too long. And it might be like something that doesn't make you feel loved for too long.
Yes.
And if you don't feel loved for too long, it's not worth sacrificing your happiness and your energy to someone that doesn't really feel like reciprocating. They're not in the mental space or the emotional space to reciprocate.
You gotta ask yourself too, what is trying, right? Like, what is trying?
Yeah.
Like, is trying like just showing up? Is trying like showing up and like hitting a double or hitting a triple? For a baseball reference, hey, that's a little different, Mark. There you go. That's for you. You know what I mean? Like, are you showing up and are you doing things that prove to your significant other that you care? That I think is key to this whole thing.
Writing a letter that you asked him to write for you, and then picking up a whatever gift out of a pile from his mom's house.
By the way, I love that you knew that already.
Yeah.
This chick is dope.
It's not even about the presents. I can tell, like, it's not, it wasn't about, like, the gift. The thoughtfulness.
The thought spark behind it that he couldn't wait to give her something.
It's like, you gave him homework.
Yeah, exactly.
Instead of like, it's your birthday. Like, let's make you feel special.
Fuck that.
That sucks. I'm so sorry, Lover Girl. Suck.
I know you love him. That's why you're a Lover Girl. But
you're being very patient.
Does he love you back? That's the whole thing. Like, does he love you
back?
Or
is he emotionally available to love you back? Exactly. Even?
Can he love himself even to love you?
It sounds like he doesn't
you?
Know himself at
I
all.
I don't think he loves himself.
Yeah, absolutely. And do you want to wait for that? Because if he's not seeking help, then it might be a little while. Because the self thing is not really, it's basically what he's been doing this entire time.
The whole time.
And I get it. Like, guys are, in general, I feel like more guys than girls are, you know, weird about going to see help.
He's right. That's our proclivity, right?
Yeah.
Is to go, I don't need help. I'm a guy. We'll figure it out, right?
Yeah.
But that's also a little bit of a oofy doofy as well.
Yeah. Look, I love figuring shit. I read so many self-help books.
Yeah.
It still helps to have a therapist.
Yeah, dude.
Especially one that sees things that I don't see. Sometimes I've had therapists that I'm like, okay, this could be my mom. Like, I could talk to my mom and she would say the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, but you find a good one, one that like points things out that you never even thought of, which it's hard to find, especially if you're someone that's constantly working on themselves and like doing, you know, learning and being self-aware. But it's life-changing. I really feel like my therapist this year has just changed my whole...
I agree.
Everything.
She's been great for you, for sure.
She's been really great.
Yeah.
And it was a new one, too. But yeah.
And you prejudged her initially.
I did. I didn't think we were going to be a good fit because she was much older, like much, much older. Yeah. And she didn't, you know, understand email or, you know, we're going to do a virtual.
Nikki pays her in checks. I think that covers
it. I pay her in physical checks. I have to mail her checks. Yeah. Even though we do a virtual session, I can't just PayPal.
Nope.
She doesn't know.
She's like, what the fuck is that about?
And I felt like on the phone, she wasn't really hearing me, like listening to what I was saying. I felt like she kept repeating things that I was like, I already heard, you already said that, you know. I don't like being repeated too.
No, you're not.
And so I thought it was just going to be, I thought it was just going to be that and it was going to drive me insane.
Yes.
But she like specialized in this area that I really needed a specialist in. And then, you know, we started our session and she like totally gets me and she
knocked her socks off.
Yeah, knocked my socks off. Yeah, yeah. And the stuff that she brings up are stuff that I've read about too, but she like adds a deeper thing to it. I don't know. I think the
first session was her sizing you up.
So yeah.
That she knew how to attack your weak points.
That could be.
Yeah. Because the first time you were unimpressed, the second time you cried.
Yeah.
Because she nailed everything.
Yeah. The first time I just felt like she was telling me like, you know, I was saying what I know about myself and she's like, well, you don't know that, know that. And I was just getting annoyed because I wouldn't tell you I know that unless I had researched like so much about it
but
first.
But when you give that answer, she knows 10% more about you.
Yeah.
I know exactly how that works because I fucking do that in my own loose way with a lot of people sometimes because, you know, when you're sizing up a room or whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
Like just trying to catch vibes.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Yeah. I should have had that understanding. I was just not in a good place.
No, you're
place.
Fine. Your journey be vulnerable. Yeah. It's hard. It's really hard.
Yeah, it was really hard. But anyway, yeah, good luck.
Seek
for
therapy.
Your boyfriend,
for your boyfriend, but you for you too.
Well, yeah, you too. Absolutely. Because going through this maybe would give you some insight and more
strength.
Strength and courage to
you need strength
kind of
right
follow
now, my
your
friend.
Gut.
Because love, right? I got you nailed already. All right, we've talked twice now. Love is your biggest thing. It's like the fulcrum of this person that I'm talking to right now. And she thinks that she can heal everything with it, but it's not being mirrored back on her.
You are doing healthy things,
yes,
to an unhealthy person.
Exactly.
So what you are doing is correct.
So when you shine a mirror on it, you're getting black light back. And that's not what you're trying to get. You know what I'm saying?
You just need someone to also be healthy with.
Yes.
And that's your...
And you have to decide, right?
Spot.
Like it's just really one of those things where you're like, do I want to be in this like constant thing?
I feel like you've been so patient. And it when you think about doing what you've been doing the past 6 months, if you had to do that for the next 10 years... Could you do that?
Yeah.
Because you don't know how long it's going to take.
And like in Nikki's situation too, how much time is it going to take for him to really lose that little spark that you have for him?
Yeah.
Because it will happen. It will happen. If he continues, like if the resentment snowball keeps on going downhill, that's going to happen.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to blow up your party here, especially because it is New Year's. Happy New Year. But...
Yeah, and just even, I don't know, I get this weird thing where you bringing up depression to him and then him going like, oh, yeah, that is what it is. Yeah, I've been going through a thing.
Yeah.
And
I
haven't been able to hang because I'm just going through a thing and I don't know myself and blah, blah, blah. And like that could be true, absolutely. But then to not do anything about it because you're like, well, I'll figure it out. I'm a guy. It's like he's not really actively trying to work on the relationship with you. He's not being a partner to you.
Look, I watched a man who I respect very much and love very much, my grandfather, sit there for years watching fucking movies instead of talking to his family because I think he needed therapy more than anybody and didn't know how to reach out and just talk about his experiences in the fucking wars, the Vietnam War. You know, he was in the Philippines, like, or I'm sorry, he was in Korea.
Mm-hmm.
So like... You know, he went through some shit and didn't want to tell anybody anything about it. And then, you know, you'd randomly, sometimes if he got drunk enough, he'd talk about it. But like, it was really like, you know, spotty.
Yeah.
But like nobody I ever saw in my life was stronger than this man. And nobody at the same time needed therapy more and was more vulnerable and just clearly masquerading as something.
That older generation.
It was baked into them because they had to be tough because they lived in tough times. They lived through the Great Depression, right? We get that.
And wars.
Wars. But, and as much as I love that man, and I do to this day love that man, worship that man, but I know the flaws of that man because I was around him, and I'm an aware person, and I respect his privacy enough that he didn't want to do anything about it. But I also understand in my life that I can't be that way.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate the lesson,
mm-hmm.
and like I'm, you know, moving forward with it.
Or like, be in a relationship with someone. You know,
exactly.
I mean, your grandma was also from that generation, so exactly. it's just bred in there.
Bad for her.
Exactly.
And she never said it was.
Yeah.
And she's a tough lady.
She is.
I told you the story, one of my favorite stories.
Yeah.
So I got to tell a story. Yeah. So one day, my grandpa, he comes home, and my grandma's like pulling on a drawer in like the bedroom, right? She's pulling this, or no, I'm sorry, opposite. My grandma comes home. My grandpa's pulling on a drawer in the bedroom. He's pulling on it so hard, and the drawer's just stuck. It won't unlock or whatever's going on, right? And my grandma walks up to him, but he doesn't hear her because there's carpet in the bedroom.
Yeah.
And he finally gets the drawer to budge, and, like, as it budges, his elbow hits my grandma, like, in the shoulder or whatever. And my grandma turns around. She walks to the closet, and he's like, what the fuck? And he didn't even know she was there, right?
Mm-hmm.
My grandma turns around. She walks to the closet. She takes out her suitcase. She puts it on the bed, and she starts loading clothes into the fucking suitcase. And he and my grandpa, his name's Dick, right? And my grandma's name is Frida. He's like, Frida, what the fuck are you doing? And she's like, my dad told me if you ever lay a finger on me, to get the hell out. She's fucking packing clothes, and he's like, what the fuck are you talking about? I didn't touch you. And she's like, you just elbowed me. And she's like, I'm just talking to you, and you elbowed me. And he's like, what the fuck? I didn't even know you were home.
She probably had been talking to him, but guys are just so focused into what they're saying. Yeah. That she's talking to him, and he
was goddamning him, like the drawer the whole time.
Yeah, and he elbows her, and so she thinks like he knows that she's there because she's been talking to him.
And he assaulted her.
Yeah.
But the fact that, you know, because people always do this bullshit about the generation. They go, well, the women were more servile and all this shit. Oh, dude, my grandma ran that fucking household, bro.
Yeah.
My grandma ran that show. And so as soon as she even thought he laid a finger on her, she's fucking packing a suitcase being like, hey, go shove it, pal. I love them. I love them, man. They're the best.
All right, guys.
Shout out to my grandma. Shout out to fucking, Frida. 90 fucking years old. Still sharp as a tack. Still a tough old bird.
Yep. Yeah. I love her.
The best.
She's great. All right, guys, thank you for submitting your questions. Thank you for asking us anything. If you'd like to ask us anything,
yes,
anything.
Oh, yes.
Ask us anything. Please give us compliments first, but ask us anything. You can email us podcast@nikki.limo. That's podcast@nikki.limo. And we will see you next time. Bye.
T-Y. Bye.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.